Father, we thank you that your name is holy. There's no other name under heaven whereby men might be saved but the name of Jesus. We thank you for who you are and what you mean to us. Now visit us through the Holy Spirit this day. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of our message for this morning, Receivers Before Givers. Receivers Before Givers. This is a time of the year for gift giving. If you are one of the strong, you can go to Rodeo Drive, find a few shops there, and you can buy a tie for $140. You can buy a shirt for $300. Well, how about Porsche driving boots for $520? Or you might find that alligator field jacket for $61,000 with the matching tennis shoes for $3,650. Maybe you might stop at Louis Vuitton and buy that studded bracelet for $260,000. Well, I'm not expecting any of those gifts. But listen to this gift. I saw this week as I was watching one of the talk shows. Bank of America agreed to give out credit cards worth $1,000 to over 300 members of the Oprah Winfrey Show. They were given a loan, a video camera, and the assignment was to go out and spend the money on a total stranger within 1 week. And so this week they came back having spent the $1,000. And many of the stories that came back were remarkable, to say the least. One lady got her community of 14,000 involved in the life of a family that had 9 children and the father was on disability. And so, because of her efforts, they raised this town for this family $72,000. They were able to pay off the medical bills, provide scholarships for the children and food for the family. I think this is what we like about Christmas. It's a season of giving. Even the nominal religious persons love Christmas because of people's generosity. You'll notice that we are no different. We have our angel tree there, and we would invite you to take one of the angels or two of the angels or several angels off of the tree and provide a need for some family or individual. Receivers before givers. You know, when someone gives us a gift, oftentimes our response to the gift giver is to want to give them a gift back. Sometimes it helps our guilt. We don't want to be indebted or want the gift to lay a claim on us. But what I've discovered and what I would like to challenge you with this morning is that we are better givers than getters. I know getters is not the right word, but I think you'll get the point. We're better givers than getters. not always because of our generosity, but people are proud. Dr. Jackie Black did a research on giving and found this out. Said women tend to be more comfortable than men in giving gifts to family and friends, and especially if they're not related to a special occasion. They just love to give gifts. Women are more apt than men to give a gift to a friend. They don't mind having secret pals. Men have less of a need, Dr. Black found out, to receive a personal gift than women, particularly for birthdays and anniversaries. We still love birthdays and anniversaries. But women make more meaning of their gifts that they receive than men. And so, as I've said year after year to many of our men, I know you might buy something for the kitchen, but get something personal also. All of us know that just before Christmas is the busiest time of the year for UPS. But you know, right after Christmas is just as busy for UPS, because many people are exchanging and taking their gifts back. And I found out in my research that there are unwritten rules about giving gifts. We want it to be a secret and a surprise. Not only that, it's just in good taste not to leave the price tag on the gift. But you know the most universal rule is directed toward the receiver. As a receiver, if someone gives us something, we should graciously receive that gift. We should smile and say thank you. And never ever try to pay someone for the gift that they have given you. It's been said, it is blessed to give, or more blessed to give than to receive. And I believe that. But also in that, it is more difficult to receive. So I'd like to spend a few moments challenging you to be receivers before givers. I shared in the first service that I remember my first years in ministry. And I've shared this before, but it always stays with me. My wife and I did not have furniture in our living area. We had a kitchen set, and so when we would invite company, they could sit at our kitchen table, but there was nothing in the living room. We had no money to buy anything in the living room. In my early years of ministry, I remember that funds were often low. Not because I was a bad manager, I just didn't make that much. I made enough just barely to pay the mortgage. I didn't tell this in the first service, but I'll tell you. I made $721 a month. And my mortgage was $439. That didn't leave a whole lot. Some of you feel uncomfortable even hearing that. And so I remember one year it was very lean. We had company visiting us, and the pantries were below bare. Y'all don't know what that means, but that's okay. And I remember that there was a lady at our church who the Lord said, give the pastor $20. I took that $20. I know that's not right protocol. Pastors shouldn't be taking money from members. A lady gave me $20 that I needed. And I went, my wife and I, we went and bought groceries. But you know that was hard? Receiving that $20 was hard. You see, when you're the preacher, you're standing up there in your nice suits, people think you have something. And I had nothing. So I became a receiver. You know, it's hard when you are the breadwinner and you have to receive something. You know, it's hard to give a food basket to a family, but it's even harder to be the recipient of it. Receive us before give us. We prefer to think of ourselves as givers because that makes us powerful, competent, self-sufficient, and capable people. And I pray that we would always be people who are givers. But I challenge you at this season of the year to read the gospel story of Christmas in Matthew. Read the gospel story of Christmas in Luke. And you'll find when you read both books and the passages that have to do with the Advent, you'll find that, and this idea is not my idea. Just in case you find it, I'll give credit to William Willimon, who talked about this. I'm embellishing some of his thoughts, but it's true. That the gospel, as we see the story of the Advent, is really about us being receivers. A man with all his power and competence and capabilities could take very little credit for Christmas. God made sure of that. God wanted to do something so amazing, so utterly beyond the bounds of human projection, that he chose a virgin to give birth by the Holy Spirit. As a messenger, he used angels to tell the message to shepherds and foreigners. You see, we didn't think up Christmas. All we can do when we look at Bethlehem is receive it. And I was struck by the passage in Isaiah chapter 7 about Ahaz and him not really wanting to be a receiver from God. Read that in your own spirit. Look at the context of that. Not willing to receive from God. I say that we don't do well as receivers. We have nothing to brag about as Christians when we tell our story. Do you know that the New Testament church was born out of a nativity scene? You ever thought about that? That the New Testament church was born out of a baby in a stable. We are first receivers. well did the world receive Jesus? He came to his own, and his own did what, everybody? Received him not. He was despised and rejected by us. We said, we have no king but Caesar. Then they crucified him. And the only receivers in the story of Christmas are shepherds, foreigners, and stable animals. Doesn't give us much bragging rights when we think about where our institution has come from. That's why when we look at the true background of where we've come from as a church, that's why we accept everybody. Thanks, Dan. Thanks for the amen. Thanks, Ken. Thanks for... You know, we are not exclusive. Amen? When we really look at our background and our history, we accept people of all backgrounds and races and cultures. You know, we don't like to see ourselves as needing, dependent, and empty-handed. I want power to stand on my own, to take charge, and to set things right. You know what I'm discovering? I'm discovering this as my father-in-law lives with us. How hard it's going to be for me to be a receiver. You see, I recognize that one day, and it's not that far off, I'm going to be a receiver from my kids. My kids, who we've reared, who my wife gave birth to, is going to tell me what to do. Do you know how hard that is to be that kind of receiver? Sometimes I think we as a church have a very difficult time being receivers. We don't like anybody to tell us anything theologically that we don't agree with. And heaven help them if they're right. Because we do not do well as receivers. As I was studying, those unwritten rules for gift giving, it applies in the area of faith as receivers. We should receive Jesus graciously. We are going to have to, maybe I think this is why I believe, this is my personal belief. You may disagree with me. We have such an issue with grace in our church. We believe it on paper, but I think we have a real trouble with grace. We need to receive Jesus graciously, recognizing that we do not bring anything. sinners, and we can't contribute anything. That's why it's difficult for us to just smile and say thank you, and then not try to pay God. Now, I pray that we will always be a church that respects and honors the law. Amen? But we are not saved by the law. Get that? Do you know we're saved by grace? Do you believe that? Honestly, now, we should do good. And we should give. But it's out of a response of love. We're not trying to pay God so he can get us in. In fact, to try and do that would be an insult to the giver. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. There's only one way to receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus, and that is by faith. And that saving faith has the unwritten rule that says we smile and say, thank you, God. You know, only Jesus is humble enough to come up with the idea of First Advent. How could somebody so powerful decide to become a baby? Let someone feed him, teach him, diaper them, powder them. You know all of the stuff that you do to babies. Matthew chapter 2, if you'll read it, and again, that's that story of Christmas. And when you get down to chapter 2 and you read on down, you get to verse 11, you'll read about the wise men. And they brought gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. I think everybody knows that story. But what I was reading, gold was extremely important and precious. You really did not just give gold out. It was reserved for royalty. Somehow, those wise foreigners, to give gold to a baby was absolutely unheard of, unless you were royalty. They gave gold because they recognized that the child was a king. And they somehow had enough insight to recognize that the future work of this child was going to be the most important work in the world. So they gave the baby gold. Receivers before givers. His parents receive that gift. Didn't give it back. Didn't say you made it. You foreigners, you must have made it at the casino. I'm giving it back. They accepted the gift because they had learned to be receivers. I was reading about the whole aspect of gift giving and found out that in the tradition of Christmas, they did not give gifts initially. They gave gifts at New Year's. That came a lot later, the giving of gifts. And in fact, what happened, gift giving just kind of went back and forth. It lost for centuries. It went out of vogue because what was happening in history, you had kings and people that had wealth making the poor people give them gifts. That's exactly where gift giving was. And so because of that, gift giving went out of vogue. Then it found its way coming back when in history somebody came up with Saint Nicholas, who would give gifts to children. So that kind of found its way back into the fabric of society. And then as they continued giving gifts because of St. Nicholas, then they decided that the merchants got involved around 1900. So they got on board and made sure that that tradition would never leave. And so what they did to make sure that the gift giving continued on, when the soldiers were fighting in World War II, and families would send gifts, they had to make sure that the gift got there in time through the postal service. So they extended the gift giving from Thanksgiving to December 25th to make sure that the gift giving would continue on. Well, I have to tell you, I know there's a lot of pagan history behind it, but I'm glad for the gift because I really need to receive. I really need to learn how to be a receiver. That's probably the challenge in ministry, is receiving. Receiving. But I have a question for you. This speaks volumes about Jesus. How do you receive a cross? How do you receive a cross? I didn't answer this in the first service. Give you what I think my answer is. I think you receive a cross when you really love. He loved you. That's how he received that cross. We know, we have an idea because we would be willing, many of us, to die for our families. Am I right, Reza? You know what I'm talking about. We only think, but you know what I'm talking about. I mean, it's almost 8 years for your family. That's because you love them. How much more does God love us? Don't insult him this holiday season and not receive the greatest gift of Jesus Would you receive him again? Could you just lift your hand and say, Lord, I receive you again. May the Lord give us receiving spirit, that we would be receivers before givers. In Jesus' name, let us pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, we have received the gift this day. The gift of Jesus into our lives. For many of us, it's been the most difficult gift there is to receive. But yet, in a strange way, it's the easiest gift to receive. Lord, I think we don't understand that kind of grace, that kind of love. So we think, Lord, we got to do something to earn it. Lord, we accept you. Just plain accept.